let's move on to 803.
Pay claim of Daniel Collins in the sum of $110,000 involving the Police Bureau.
Mr. Rice from the City Attorney's Office is here.
Morning, Mayor. Mayor Hales, Commissioner Novick, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Saltzman. It's the city attorney has been working on a case involving Mr. Collins. We recommend that the matter be settled for $110,000. A short description of this is that Christmas Eve 2010, there was a rap music event in Portland at Burnside and Northwest 2nd. The place was significantly oversold. There were probably 1,500 people crammed into this event. Some or a portion of those people were attending, supposedly a gang funeral. In any event, Mr. Collins was there with four of his friends. Mr. Collins is a sophomore in college. There's no indication he was part of any gang funeral. He was inside, and the police were called because there was violent confrontations inside the club itself. Perhaps 20 or 30 people were engaged in fist fights. The police were called. The security staff had been assaulted. Some of our officers went inside. There was an individual with Mr. Collins who took a bar stool and swung it at a police officer. Police officer stepped back and hit the floor. That person then began fleeing through the crowd. Mr. Collins was with him. In a foyer, as they entered, one of our police officers grabbed the person who had tried to strike, flipped him to the ground, and handcuffed him. And that incident really happened very quickly. The matter of Mr. Collins was that the police officers felt he was interfering with the arrest. He was taken to the ground. His arm was underneath him, and the police officers wanted him to remove his arm. He either refused or could not refuse because he had weight on top of him, and Mr. Collins was punched. He was subject to a taser and also some knee strikes. He either went limp or passed out. He was taken to Oregon Health Sciences by ambulance. He was examined there. He has multiple scrapes on him and was released that very same day. There was a significant internal affairs investigation into this matter. The police officers were exonerated in that. Litigation then pursued, and I think litigation is a more in-depth search for the truth, perhaps. And when we got involved in this, I actually realized I knew Mr. Collins just slightly because my son had played basketball against Grant. He was a Grant basketball player when they were the state champions. And Mr. Collins said he suffered from PTSD from having gone through this particular matter. After the initial incident happened, one of our detectives went and investigated the matter. They cleared Mr. Collins of any other outside activity, interviewing witnesses. The district attorney's office chose not to prosecute this matter. And after we took the depositions, we were fortunate to get Judge Ann Aiken, the chief judge of the United States District Court, involved in this. She mediated the process, and the resolution between the two sides with Judge Aiken was the matter is probably worth $110,000 to settle. We could go to trial in this and win. We could go to trial in this matter, and if that were to occur and there would be a jury verdict against the city, it would most likely be significantly beyond that amount. Based on that, I'm here recommending that we settle this matter for $110,000. Now, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
So even though both Internal Affairs and IPR found that there was no unnecessary use of force or false arrest, you think it's still, on balance, more financially prudent for the city to settle?
It is. The pattern that I've sort of seen in the bigger issue here is if we have one of our citizens who is involved in something minor in terms of crime, they're subjected to a significant amount of force. Matter is not pursued by the district attorney's office or they're acquitted. Generally, juries are looking at these things in a particular way, and we have had verdicts against us, certainly, that were surprisingly large to me, and actually I think that pattern nationally is true as well. So there's certainly risk of a much larger verdict had this matter gone to trial.
You said that the Internal Affairs found exonerated the officer. Was it looked into by the Independent Police Review and the Citizens Review Committee?
It was. And if I was to take those two files, I'd say they're probably about 3 inches thick. So there was a lot of work that went into it. Mr. Collins gave statements with his lawyer present about what his version was. And I think that there are conflicting versions between what the two sides were. And I was not there making those judgments in terms of the exoneration, but my suspicion looking at the file was that there were two sides, and the way the matter came down, the officers were exonerated.
And the Citizens Review Committee looked at it also?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I've not seen that as part of my file, and the file's probably this thick, and actually I've been working this for a long time. I'm not sure whether they reviewed that or not, but I know Internal Affairs did, and the IPR was involved. In a significant way.
But I'm not sure whether the CRC did. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Anyone want to speak on this item?
Yes. We have four people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Charles Johnson, Dan Handelman, and Mary Eng.
Charles, I think you're on first.
Good morning, commissioners. I don't have extensive research on this issue, but I see we've got fellow experts at the table. My name is Charles Johnson, for the record, and I do want to definitely speak in favor of this settlement. Unfortunately, after having this long presentation on tourism, we know that Portland also gets international attention for the United States versus the city of Portland for police excess, and that when we talk about Judge Ann Aiken, other federal judges are having difficulties with the United States Attorney's case against us and our inability to convince legal experts that we're serious about protecting citizens, particularly citizens with mental illness. It was interesting to note that the alleged or claiming victim in this case, I don't know if there was pre-existing PTSD, but there certainly is now. So he's a person with mental illness at risk from further abuse from the police. The other problem we have is that recently, although I prefer the journalist seated over to my right, it was the Oregonian, which talked about the inability of this council and the city attorney to clearly communicate about settlements involving police who have been alleged to have Nazi favoritisms. So there needs to be accountability, and needs to go on the record right now that we're not getting to where we want to go at helping the police be good public servants. Having to transfer $110,000 of taxpayer money to the victim of the police is sad, but reading in the Oregonian that there's incomplete communication between the office of the mayor and the city attorney about how we deal with police misconduct, when now Captain Mark Kruger, who was investigated for, I'm not going to call him a neo-Nazi, I don't know his personal politics, but he's a public servant who made an idiotic, stupid, hurtful decision about displaying Third Reich materials. And this council has failed to implement proper accountability, to show proper respect for African Americans and Jewish Americans and all Americans in this city. So when we look at this $110,000 going to a citizen, that's certainly better than the $5,000 that went to Mr. Kruger. Thank you.
Just a quick check. I think you mentioned Mr. Collins's claim about post-traumatic stress disorder. I believe that was after the incident. I don't believe there was any claim that he was in any way suffering from mental illness, which is the subject of the U.S. Department of Justice settlement proposal with the city of Portland. So I think we've got to make sure we've got the sequence correct here, which is that the issue of psychological effect in this case came after the bar fight, not before. Did I get that right, Jim? So there was no pre-existing condition identified in the record involving the subject of the U.S. Department of Justice investigation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And it's unfortunate that he does now have PTSD, and I hope that his attorney has created an arrangement where he'll get proper care for the stress inflicted by being brutalized by the police. And I also want to thank you, Mayor, for paying attention to my whole remarks and addressing that issue and continuing to work hard to either get Chief Reese or his replacement to help us get our police to be the best they can be. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and $110,000 is a large amount of money, and it's really important for us to know who's responsible, each individual officer involved in this incident. I couldn't find information about one of them, but I do have information about most of them. It's also, I recognize it's 3.5 years ago, but there's also another incident where tasers were misused. Something involving a hip-hop show, which is the IPR is investigating now, how the Portland police respond to hip-hop shows. And unfortunately, the second grandson of the same person, Pastor Mary Overstreet, who was attacked by the Portland police, Sir Millage, was attacked in December 2006 and tasered 13 times, hit with batons, and the city settled with him for $37,000. Two people in the same family is astounding. So the officers involved in this, Daryl Shaw, Matthew Delanikos, and Gregory Byrne and David Abramson. Shaw was involved in the shooting and killing of Vernon Allen, a homeless black man, in 2005, even though the man was surrounded by police officers, and there probably could have been another plan other than killing him. In a 2011 lawsuit, it was revealed that he had 33 prior internal affairs complaints before this. I have to say, I really have to thank the city attorney Rice for revealing that there was no finding of misconduct in the IA investigation. It's actually the Bureau that makes the decisions if they were out of policy, not IA or IPR. And no, this was not appealed to the Citizen Review Committee. I would have known about it. And Daryl Shaw and Matthew Delanikos were also named by a female recruit, whistleblower cop, as being abusive, and she was one of the reasons she decided to quit the Bureau. So, this was 3.5 years ago. I don't know what those officers are doing now, but I sure hope that they aren't doing this kind of behavior anymore. I just want to add, Mr. Abramson, Officer Abramson, was a person who didn't take a report of a security guard at Pioneer Courthouse Square hitting a man over a head with a skateboard, which is very much in contrast to when a homeless person allegedly hit somebody over the head with a skateboard last year. I know he was convicted for it, and there was a lot of investigation into that. So I just want to wrap up by saying, Mr. Mayor, we've been trying to get a meeting with you at Portland Cop Watch. We've met with every police commissioner before now. We met with you last year. We do want to talk about such details about these individual officers and other concerns that we have, and particularly now that we've learned that, as you mentioned, the Joint Terrorism Task Force a minute ago, we learned that you did not apply for or get security clearance as you promised this spring, and you said that if that happened, you'd bring it back to council this summer. So we do want to have a meeting with you if that's possible.
We'll do that.
Hi, Council. It's great to see you. My name is Mary Ng, and I know you are Dan Saltzman, Charlie Hales, Amanda Fritz, and Steve Novick. It's a pleasure to see you again. I'd love to tell you about my other adventures. I'd like to take a moment of silence for all victims of police brutality. One of the most painful and unusual things about this struggle that we face with police brutality is that it is a global struggle. With, say, an organization like USAID wants to inspire law enforcement reform in cities where people are beaten and flogged on the public street. And our international objectives often don't match with our national performance. And I think if you go to the State Department will try to make it sound like our International Disabilities Treaty is something incredible, and we are the pioneer country that has this model treatment of disabled people. But I think when we look at instances like this with this tasering event, we can see that our performance is not up to par. The Taser is referred by the National Lawyers Guild as a less lethal weapon, and the implementation of less lethal weapons in lieu of better training and better crowd control and better security, I think, is very, very critical. It can often result in a traumatic brain injury when a person is thrown back to hit the pavement. And the medical costs that you will face with the ongoing traumatic brain injuries from the implementation of less lethal weapons, which of course you know cardiac arrest can be a result of tasers, should be something that is considered. I too am extremely personally offended by your rewards for the neo-Nazi or the Nazi or the Hitler enthusiast Mark Kruger. I'm offended by his role in the vice squad, whatever vice means. I think some of our language in police accountability is really out of control and outdated. I'm personally offended by the use of the term gang. When a group of white people are walking down the road, they're just white hipsters. But when a group of black people walk down the road, you call them a gang. And I don't know what you mean by gang. And I think we need a critical evaluation of all of the linguistic things that we are using as we approach police reform, including the issues of mental illness. And if your police are inflicting mental illness, we are creating disabilities. And I think some kind of federal and state and local collaboration could ascertain if the Social Security Administration is going to have to give a PTSD check to somebody for their long-term disabilities because of some crime the Portland police have committed. Where's a prosecutor like Arlen Specter who's willing to take police down for police brutality? They have an absolute exoneration and impunity for this. And your bribe money or hush money or whatever this payout stuff you're doing is doesn't really cut it in terms of the long-term cost to the state and drain on the medical system and drain on our trust. And I suggest you owe a debt to the Holocaust Resource Center for your insulting collaboration with Nazis. It offends me and it offends my grandpa. He went to Okinawa for this stuff. And as the ghost of Ransom Ng, this stuff really, really upsets me. And a lot of my best friends are Jewish. So this, I don't know, I'm just so offended.
Thank you. Others, Carla?
The last person who signed up is Ben Pickering.
Good morning.
Good morning. Resonate the mind. They're talking about police beating for this case, just you guys have been hearing about it here. I watched the cops and how they are on TV, cops and news, and what I hear and what I see in these brutalities and these. Where's the firm for you do a crime or you see the things that happen to the city or what you hear on the people, but a human is a human, you know, whether you're a cop, you're an officer, or if you're in any firm whatsoever, where is it owed to when, you pay the firm and you go out there and the state pays the firm to keep the community and the people in the city safe, you know, and that's who we trust, you know, this is, you know, the people build that trust up. But when you're out there and you're being attacked several times, I came here from the state of Washington from getting away from my attacker from 42 staples to the head. And so I was on a 6-month rest easy, you know, take it easy, where I had an ongoing there for events that were happening in situations where I was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. And it was like an ongoing, like, embezzled, held up with a knife point and sexually harassed to where it was like, and hurt. And it comes to the police, you know, where I moved out of a town to get away from my attacker until things had calmed down. Well, I come here and police that I trust, I've never not trusted a human until they gave me a reason not to. But I'm blind out of one eye. It's a struggle to go through life. But I'm just coming to my senses and recovering from being attacked, but thrown down by four officers at Ace Tavern. I was beaten and smashed in my head and grinded my face across the ground. And the feeling, the way it made me feel, is like I'm starting to lose trust in a community person that had attacked me for no reason and gave me 42 staples to police officers that I trust that are like wear the badge and obey and protect and serve our people. But how can you trust someone after you're being attacked over and over and in not given a chance, like being part of a community where it's like I'm a human being, but like the feeling, the way it feels is like it's beyond the recognition. I don't know, what's fair for that, you know. And like I didn't get an apology, and I'm still going through court. It's been a year later they had brought it up into court, and they're trying to make me feel like I'm the one that has done something wrong when I'm the victim, and I was the one that was beaten and thrown out of that chair for asking for a glass of water and on the way to the bar and being attacked in the middle of the night. And they're making it sound like I'm the one that had the problem when I was the victim that got thrown down on the ground and beat up. And the way it makes me feel, and it's still being brought up right now in court. So whether I have to throw a protest, or I have to put meaning behind it, or I have to write a book about it, or I have to try to get it on the media, the news, anything, or go to Winfrey Oprah and just talk about it all day long, how it feels and what's right. I don't know. You tell me I didn't get an apology, nothing from any of those four officers, and I trust those people, you know. So it's like the gratitude and the thanks I get is what I'm dealing with, and I'm still dealing with from when they beat me up and they took my trust away.
Thank you. Okay, Carla, anyone else?
That's all I'm signed up.
Okay, and we're ready for a roll call.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
I'm very sad and sorry that this has happened, and I appreciate the mayor's work in looking into how our police are doing their jobs and all of the different organizations, including Copwatch and the Independent Police Review and the Citizens Review Committee, who are also focusing attention on this. Aye.
Hales?
This was a very messy situation, and regardless of the level of the force that was used, we have different rules now for how it is used now. And at the risk of sounding a little flippant, we have something of a pool going in our office about when we get to deal with issues that have resulted from our term of service as opposed to prior ones. But nevertheless, we do our job. It includes cleaning up cases from the past. This one was from December of 2010. In general, when the city is sued and our personnel appear to have done their job, I would be inclined to go to court and let a court of law determine whether there was fault or not. In this case, the city attorney and our risk managers say the more prudent financial decision for the city to make is to settle, and I think that's a reasonable call in a murky situation. Aye.